The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you give us your Son as the vine, apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
I'm going to ask you children to
turn around. Vicar Thomas, would you sit right here? You know, for 12 months, Vicar Thomas has been doing the children's sermon almost every Sunday, at least three times a month. And this is his last time for us as vicar. So we're going to send him away. But I wanted to have you, some of the children who are with us, to tell Vicar Thomas what he taught you in these 12 months. What have you learned from him? Did you learn anything, Ian? What did you learn?
Nice.
Tell them what you learned.
I learned that God, Jesus is a great shepherd, and he leads us away from death.
And
fire.
Good, good. What'd you learn, Sam? Did you learn anything during the children's sermons? Lily, how about you? Did Vicar Thomas teach you anything? You usually forget a lot?
Yeah.
That's a good thing about... Yeah, Jesus and the shepherd. And Vicar Thomas, what would you say your favorite children's sermon was, other than the first one? Do you remember the first one? When the children took him over?
Well, that is a favorite of mine. That's a great question.
Yeah, maybe you're like Lily and you forget sometimes, so you have to be reminded week after week to keep doing those children's sermons, and then you can remember, huh? Yeah.
I've spent each moment loving being with you guys in this space, or just even those moments on Sunday. And that is enough for me to go on.
Yeah, that's good. Give them a little boost. And some of you there, yeah. Good enough. Good enough. So we will, we don't have Sunday school today, but Ellen has... bags for you to work on during church. So she will hand the bag, go back to the font and get a bag from her. So we'll sing you back to your places.
A reading from Acts. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation, for his life is taken away from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, about whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? Then Philip began to speak, and starting with the scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 22 responsively. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord. Shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations.
Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down and worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord.
Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come.
They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, the Lord has acted.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on this day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this. Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the words that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Our second reading today is from one of the letters that St. John wrote when he was in Turkey. A number of years ago, I was privileged to travel in Turkey. What has anybody else been to Turkey? It's an amazing country as far as geography goes. Land formations, topography that is found nowhere else in the world. It's very unique in that. And there's a very unique blend of peoples in that country, too. If we read between the lines in John's letter, we might come to the conclusion that the community that he was speaking to in Turkey is a lot like the congregations that we have today, a real mix of peoples and ideas. You've heard the saying that it takes all kinds. Well, there must have been all kinds in the congregation that John was writing to in Turkey. There were those Christians that were very sure in their faith, maybe too sure. And there were those who forgot that they were baptized and that baptism means living every day, walking wet in their faith. There were those people who got mad about something and just left the church, walked away from the community. And it seems like all of them were having a hard time liking each other, getting along. John writes, "Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their brothers and sisters are liars." John must have seen something in that community that caused him to write this letter about love. I counted the word love 25 times in those short 15 verses. Beloved, let us love one another. 25 times. John is quite insistent to this community. For God's sake, love one another. For God's sake, love one another. If they were having that much trouble loving one another, the insiders, can you imagine how they got along with the outsiders? How did they deal with them? Our first reading this morning from Luke's Acts of the Apostles tells us the story of Philip. He was one who had no trouble with outsiders. After all, he was an outsider himself. This is not Philip the apostle. This is Philip the deacon, one of those seven deacons that had been appointed to do the charity work in that first century. He ran the loaves and fishes of first century Jerusalem. And then during the persecution, when Stephen was martyred, the Christians from Jerusalem scattered, and Philip went up north to Samaria. He was leading a very successful ministry there, doing a bang-up job of preaching about Jesus, performing miracles, leading many people to the waters of baptism. But isn't it just like God in this upside-down kingdom? Philip was just getting settled in his work in Samaria, and boom, God sends an angel. Get up and go to the south, to the road that leads down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road. So he got up and went. Now, I'm not too sure that many of us would be that quick to take off on a wilderness road on the word of an angel. I know I would be asking a lot of questions. Maybe we can't relate to Philip acting on the word of an angel, but we can probably relate more to what it's like to be on a wilderness road. We know what it's like to find ourselves in new places, uncharted waters, to feel insecure or unsure about the direction that we should go, to wonder what's next. Vicar Thomas is traveling his wilderness road as his internship ends today, and he's waiting to hear that call of what's next. Listen for those angels. We all have wilderness roads. We know the wilderness road of living with cancer or chronic pain or the ache of loneliness or grief or depression. We know the wilderness road of a new job or no job or retirement. We know the wilderness road of making decisions and choices about our future, about our children, about our parents. We know maybe too well, but we do know about wilderness roads. So Philip finds himself on a wilderness road, and he meets another traveler, another outsider. This Ethiopian doesn't get a name. He is the Ethiopian. He is definitely an outsider. He's a person of color. He's a foreigner. His gender identification would have kept him excluded. He worked for a foreign government. He was probably wealthy. Well, he had a scroll. He was riding in a chariot. This outsider was reading from the prophet Isaiah as he rode along home after a pilgrimage to the holy city, to Jerusalem. He would have been excluded from the temple because he was probably a Gentile and because he was a eunuch. But he had gone to Jerusalem anyway, even though he couldn't go into the temple. So he was on a wilderness road in so many ways. And now, here comes Philip, following the urging of the Spirit to go where the angel told him to go. Philip ran up alongside that chariot and started a conversation. I always find this, that little line, one line in this very interesting. Either that chariot was super slow, or Philip was very fast, because the chariot's going down the road, and Philip ran up next to it and starts having the conversation. I can't talk when I'm running, but Philip was able to do that. And he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" This Ethiopian was not the only one who lacked understanding. He didn't understand any better than the apostles understood about the resurrection on that Easter morning. He didn't understand any better than Paul understood what happened to him on that road to Damascus. He didn't understand any better than you and I what it means to abide in Jesus, to love one another, to be fruitful branches on the vine. We all need a guide. We need help in understanding. The early church really understood about this need for guides. The baptism rite, with its inclusion of sponsors and community, stresses that truth, that one does not come to faith alone. One does not walk along the wilderness road without a guide. Seems like these days we pretty much shrug off the whole concept of guides. It's like we're stuck in those terrible twos. I want to do it by myself. We stomp our feet, we pull away, and we state in no uncertain terms, I can do it myself. We want to do it all on our own. We don't want guides. I think we've learned the wrong lesson too well, that being independent, taking no counsel, seeking no help is the way to go. Whenever I think of this, I remember a colleague of mine that I worked with. We were having a meeting at his house at 2 o'clock. And so he knew that people were coming. Four other people were coming to his house. But he wanted to move a mattress from his upstairs to the downstairs, but he had to do it by himself. Well, when we got there at 2 o'clock, there was a big piece of cardboard covering his front window on the bottom of the staircase. But he had to do it by himself. Couldn't wait for help. Jesus says, this is not the way to go. Ask for help. Especially when we're talking about faith. Faith is really a group effort, a team sport. You can't be Christian by yourself. Being Christian is all about relationships. Our relationship to God, God's relationship to us, our relationship to one another. I listened to a TED Talk last week about the predictors of long life. If you want to live a long life, these things should be a part of your life. And the woman giving the talk started with the bottom, with the like 15th most important predictor, and then went up to the top. So exercise is down here. Being lean or not is up here. Getting a flu shot was on that list. But the top predictor, better than more important than getting a flu shot or exercising every day, is having social interaction, being connected to people. And she gave the example. She said, I'm not talking about just talking to the people who love you, the people that you live with, but I'm talking about social interaction, knowing, saying hello to the woman who walks her dog in front of your house every day, saying hello to the mailman, speaking to someone in an elevator. The more social interaction that we have, the greater that is for a long and healthy life. So let's talk to one another. We could put a Christian spin on that and call it living your baptism, because it's all about relationship. Philip's relationship with the Ethiopian started with Scripture. He opened his mouth and started talking about Jesus. Jesus is the very core, the center of the relationships, the center of our faith. We have to be connected to Jesus, like branches on a vine. We have to be connected in order to live, in order to grow in our faith, in order to walk along our wilderness roads. We have to be in relationship. That Ethiopian, who was excluded on so many counts, knows that he wants to be included. He knows that baptism is the way to connect, to be connected, to get connected. He wants that. He needs that on this wilderness road. He knows that baptism will bring him into a relationship with Jesus and the Christian community. Look, here is water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? Along our wilderness roads, we can ask that same question. Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from living my baptism? What is keeping me from living a life connected to the vine and producing much fruit? What's to keeping us from abiding in Jesus Christ? What is keeping us from loving our brothers and sisters? What's keeping us from relationship? The good news answer to that question is nothing. Nothing. Jesus has removed all of the barriers that keep us from relationship with him, keep us from loving one another, from living out our faith, from walking wet in the truth of our baptism. Jesus walks along with us on our wilderness roads. He has gifted us with faith communities and spiritual guides of many sorts along the way. He has invited us to leave our outsider status and become insiders, to become connected to him, producing much fruit, loving because he has loved us first. It takes all kinds. And thanks be to God that we are called to be in relationship with Jesus, with all kinds, and to be in relationship with all kinds. We are called to abide with him as he abides with us, so that we can have long and healthy lives. So that the predictor of our longevity is our relationships with one another and with God. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.